everybody. This is Sight to the Blind. So I'm getting a little late on this episode. I was coming back from a funeral. Actually, my aunt, my father's sister had passed away. So I was in New York for a funeral. And let me tell you, I understand the spell that people are under. I truly do. I was sitting in that church, which was more or less a cathedral. It had white Jesus Christ, all these white Europeans on the stained glass windows, all up on the wall, all the art was all European. The pastors or the elders or the preachers or the bishops, what have you, they were all in Roman Catholic garb. All of them were black. It's a black church with European faces on the stained glass windows. And my aunt was heavily involved with the church. I've heard words like elder being thrown around, bishop thrown around, evangelist thrown around, loved God being thrown around. I've heard so much testimony about my aunt's walk with God. I've heard paganism. I've heard Christmas. I've heard everything except laws, statutes, and commandments. And I truly feel bad. Not only for my family, I feel bad for the people who were there in attendance because they truly believe that everything that went on is completely to the Most High's will. It's sad. I sat there and just listened to it. I could hear the spiritual blindness. The pastor getting up saying, oh, I was a preacher for 16 years and then I'm an elder for 20-something years. I've been in this bad, like, throwing at your statistics. So that makes you an expert on scripture. And then he goes to Revelation and he uses two verses out of Revelation out of a context and says, oh yeah, your testimony. It's all about your testimony. I mean, everybody else is standing up. They get on the keyboards. I'm like, nothing has been said. Not to afflict my spirit, but nothing has been said that it led me to believe that this is Yahuwah's will. Nothing I heard made me think Yahusha has his hands in this. In the black church, they say two or three scriptures out of context and they go right to a song. I forget how Christian, I really truly was removed from Christianity for years. I wouldn't even say years, for decades. I haven't been in the church, or it's been a while since I actually been to a black church. A while. I would say the last time I've been to a black church was when I was in college. I truly forget how they need music to pass on that spirit. Like, they need the music so you don't dwell on the fact that he really said nothing and took scripture out of context. Of course, they only mention Paul's words. They go to 2 Timothy. They'll go to Romans. Fam, they are not touching Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. They're not touching the meat. And they don't even realize it's their history. They don't know it's their story. That's the most heart-wrenching part in all this. That at sitting in this funeral, I truly was like, I felt bad for my family because obviously my aunt passed away and she was a good person. But I saw curses. I saw Deuteronomy. Sadly, that's what I saw. I saw Deuteronomy. I saw exactly how stiff-necked our people are, especially in our parents' generation and the generation before. I completely understand it. I truly do. Which makes me think and took a step back and was like, you know what? I shouldn't be as hard on my parents as I once was or as I used to be, because I felt like it should be easy to come into this truth. You should see it. You got to look at the news, the things that's going on around you. Even if you hear like people like Kanye talking about Israelites and talking about Jews, it has to have enough volume where somebody has to say, hey, we may be the Israelites. Yeah, it has to be some type of example or some little bit of information that came across their phones or came across their TVs that'll make them look into it. There's no way in the world they could be on this earth for so long and still not see the truth. So It's funny how my Ruach, and you guys listened to the last episode, I actually did that episode a whole week before. Because I don't know if someone was in my spirit that said, that made me keep thinking about my mother. Because I had no contact with my mother in 6 years. Not since like 2018. And it was weighing on me. For some reason, it was, you know why it was weighing on me? Because I've been getting so close to my woman's mother and her father. And it just, I don't know what it was. Maybe it was just that spirit that I felt like I needed my mom around. Or that I wish I had a better relationship with my mother. So the Ruach does what the Ruach does. So I went to this funeral. My mom was there. Of course, I try to be tough. I try to not to acknowledge my family or whatever. And then I sat back down. I had my woman with me. And I was like, you know what? I'm gonna go say hi. So when I said hello to my mother, she got up, hugged me hard, started crying, said, I'm glad to see you, glad I missed you, and all that. It was emotional for her. Then after the funeral, I said I wanted to go say bye to her. She, make sure you call me tomorrow. Like, again, tearing up. And I was just wondering the whole time, like, why haven't she reached out? Like, why? But I remember that generation is stiff-necked. And I had to ask Yahuwah, like, I needed to find some compassion or understanding of why I felt the way I felt. So he watched me and looked after me because I've also was a little fearful that this was just a setup, that this was just another setup to get me snared or put me in a pit or an early grave. I was more fearful of this is what it was because I actually was traveling during the Shabbat, but I also was trying to listen to what my parents wanted. My dad was really adamant about me being at this funeral. I didn't want to go, but it was right on my spirit, my Ruach, to attend. So I asked the Most High, you tell me what you want me to do. I will do what you want. You are my father. Tell me what you want me to do. Anything, if you don't want me to go, I won't go. And then I was getting blocked. I was getting tricked by the enemy because the enemy knows I put my eggs sometimes in the numerology basket. So of course I was seeing 33s, and it pointed out the fact that the Saturday, the Shabbat was the 27th, which is, you know, guys know it's my number, and also the date added up to 33. So I'm thinking, oh, this is sacrifice time. This is ritual time. Especially when in my mind, I'm thinking that Yo Gotti had just had his brother sacrificed after he had just left a funeral. So I'm thinking I'm almost on the same platform as that. Okay, this must be going around. And the fact that my aunt, she had a stroke when she was going to a funeral. So I'm like, this got to be more than a coincidence. So I prayed and begged to the Most High that please protect me. You tell me what you want me to do. So after I got those messages, I prayed again. I said, you know, the Most High, treat me like I'm dumb. Treat me like I don't understand symbolism. Treat me as if I don't understand signs. Talk to me like as if I'm a dumb child. After I did that prayer, me and my woman was driving. I wanted to go handle something financially at my people who do my taxes. She was with me, but the office was closed. But when we were riding to the office, she's out of nowhere. She goes, you see these flights? She was looking at flights for New York. It's like, oh, are you leaving 6 o'clock on this flight to New York? I'm like, thank you, y'all. Thank you. Thank you for giving me that. Because in my mind, I was thinking, treat me as a dumb child. But I also had thoughts of, maybe you need to pass this message on to somebody who is outside of me so I can discern better, because I can't understand sometimes the thoughts that run through my mind, because I don't know if it's the enemy's thoughts or it's Yahuwah's thoughts or it's my thoughts. And sometimes you need an outside message. Sometimes you need people around you to deliver you this message or deliver you confirmation, which is okay too. Especially when you're in this walk for a longer period of time, sometimes your judgment is clouded. When it says, lean not on your own understanding, sometimes we lean so far on our own understanding, we don't hear the true message. So sometimes you have to regroup and go ask the Most High, say, Yahuwah, I can't understand it. Use somebody around me to deliver this message. And sure enough, he gave her this message. And I said, okay, boom, now I'm going. Okay, I'm going. I'll go. So I went, and it actually was a good experience. It really opened my eyes to a lot of things. It had me show a little bit more compassion for what this situation is. Mind you, I still adhere to scripture when it says, those who leave their brother's house, sister's house, daughters, mothers, fathers to follow Yahusha is going to receive 100 manifold of blessings in heaven, or treasures and blessings and benefits in heaven. I'm still on that. So I'm not running back to my family to jump on the bandwagon like, okay, I want to be around you guys during Christmas, Thanksgiving, and Easter. I'm not doing that. But this is, I guess, this is just a doorway of me walking into and say, okay, I gotta be the cornerstone for my family. I gotta be the capstone for my family because they're all asleep. So I'm gonna have to take some time away from the show because I have to deal with this on an emotional and a very spiritual level because now I'm understanding that I'm going to have to wake my family up. I have to tell them what they've been doing. I have to, and this is all in scripture. And I have been reading this before I went up there. I just happened to catch my eye on TikTok that we would be returning to the law, statutes, commandments, and the Torah and righteousness. So I was like, man, that's heavy. So I started looking into Jubilees 23. And I'm going to bring up the fact that when Abraham was about to die, he gave Yasharel blessings. And again, I think a lot of you Israelites, especially you Israelite men, you need to read the blessings that was bestowed upon Yaakov from Abraham, from Isaac, and from Rebekah, or Rivka. You need to read that because those blessings do not just add to Yaakov and the 12 sons. It adds to all of us who are born underneath Yehuda and whatever tribe you are. You need to read these blessings because those blessings carry over. So it talked about Abraham's life. It said that he lived Jubilees 23:8, and he lived 3 jubilees and 4 weeks of years, 175 years, and completed the days of his life being old and full of days. For the days of the forefathers of their life were 19 jubilees. And after the flood, they began to grow less than 19 jubilees and to decrease in jubilees and to grow old quickly and to be full of their days by reason of manifold tribulation and the wickedness of their ways, with the exception of Abraham. With the exception of Abraham. So before then, of course, Noah lived to be, a long, a lot of time. Enoch lived to be 365 years. So we would actually be, if we actually walked with Yah, if we did not have that sin from Adam and Chua, if we walked with the Most High all the way, we wouldn't have to worry about death. It would literally be heaven on earth. But because of sin, but because of wickedness, our days are decreasing. And you see how everything is sped up? And it says in the book of Enoch, in the days of the sinners, time will speed rapidly. So not only is people sinning and growing older faster, the time is going extra fast. So people do not understand that they're heading into hell faster than they would if it was before the flood. They would actually have time to repent and change their ways. They would have time to participate in the law, statutes, and commandments. But now time is speeding up. Their sinning makes them grow older. They're going to be going into an early grave before they get to the grave. For Abraham was perfect in all his deeds with Yahuwah and well-pleasing in righteousness all the days of his life. And behold, he did not complete 4 jubilees in his life when he had grown old by reason of wickedness and was full of his days. And all the generations which shall arise from this time until the day of great judgment shall grow old quickly before they complete 2 jubilees. And their knowledge shall forsake them by reason of their old age, and all their knowledge shall vanish away. all their knowledge. If it ain't about laws, statutes, commandments, anything and everything you guys have been learning about this world, politics, sports, numerology, entertainment, Hollywood, celebrities, it don't matter. It's pointless. It's vanity. Yes, it's a tool to help you detach yourself from this reality and this matrix, but it's vanity. It don't do nothing but puff you up. If people don't get it, I'm at the point, if people don't get it, they're too stupid to get it. They're not supposed to get it. It's the same thing with Yahushua. When Yahushua said it'd be like the days of Noah, mind you, before the flood, there was no Ruach HaKodesh. Do you understand? There was no Ruach HaKodesh. People didn't have the Holy Spirit, just like in the day of Yahushua. Before he even was crucified and died and gave up the Ruach HaKodesh, there was no Ruach. So if you understood the parables and why people couldn't understand it, even some of his disciples couldn't understand it, because people were dumb back then, just as people were stupid now, or dumb now. And they get to have the Ruach. But the only way you can get the Ruach is if you are obedient, is if you humble yourself. If you walk and live righteously and upright, you get the Ruach HaKodesh. The spirit of wisdom, the Ruach of wisdom, Chokmah, which is mentioned in Wisdom of Solomon. It's a spirit. He talks of the spirit as if it's a female. So if sinning makes you dumb and make you grow old quickly, just imagine the people before the flood. Imagine the people at the time of Yahushua when he was teaching, that they could not understand what he was saying. Just like the people today can't understand what you said because they are sinning and they have no knowledge, no real knowledge. Because real Ruach knowledge, or the Ruach Chokmah and Ruach Binyah, that comes from being obedient to the Most High. So once you get that, I would cease to have to explain certain things. I could easily say, this is Masonic, that's numbers. It would never need to go no further than that. But because people are truly wishing and truly wanting to be ignorant, willfully ignorant and stupid, they keep asking questions. They get mad because they have to combat what they've been taught their entire lives. So then I got to show some extra compassion, because Yahushua says we should care and love for our neighbor and brother as if it was just us. But it's the frustrating part of this walk that we all have to do it, even with our family members. So you have to understand the blindness, the ignorance that comes with it. And they don't know. Just like people in the day of Yahushua, people did not know. They were completely dumb until Yahushua showed up. They did not understand anything until Yahushua showed up. And even when he was gone, they truly really didn't really get it, but they had to strive to get it. That's why the disciples had to do, they had to do work. That's why if we are true followers of Yahushua, we got to do the work. So in those days, if a man lived a jubilee and a half years, they shall say regarding him, he has lived long, and the greater part of his days are pain and sorrow, tribulation, and there is no peace. For calamity follows on calamity, wound on wound, tribulation on tribulation, evil report on evil report, and illness on illness, and all evil judgments such as these, evil judgments, one with another illness, and overthrow, and snow, and frost, and ice, and fever, and chills, and torpor, and famine, and death, and sword, and captivity, and all kinds of calamities and pains. And all these shall come on an evil generation, which transgresses on earth. Their works are uncleanness, and fornication, and pollution, and abominations. This generation, and in that generation, and this is why the compassion part, before I went to this funeral, this is the verse I saw. Verse 16, 23:16. And in that generation, the sons shall convict their fathers and their elders of sin and unrighteousness and of the words of their mouth and the great wickedness which they perpetrate and concerning their forsaking the covenant which Yahuwah made between them and him, that they should observe and do all his commandments and his ordinance and all his Torah without departing either to the right hand or the left. Do you understand that? And in that generation, just like they say, in those days, in that day, this is future prophecy that we are living in right now. And in that generation, the son shall convict their fathers and their elders. So if we're turning back to the law, statutes, commandments, and seeking after righteousness, they're all work within our own individual little areas or circles or groups or families or relatives and relationships, we will convict our fathers and elders. We will point out, we will judge, we will show them. We will be the ones who will help awaken and let the Ruach HaKodesh do its work. Go to Malachi 4, 5 and 6. What did he say he's going to send Eliyahu in the last days before the great tribulation of Yahuwah? That he would send out Eliyahu and to do what? Turn back the sons to the fathers and turn the fathers back to the sons. So this is where we are. If you're a daughter beefing with your mother or your mother-in-law over scripture, over the Torah, this is exactly what it is. This is what's going on right now. This is how we know where we are before the great and terrible day of Yahuwah. He's given us some grace time to be able to turn and save our relatives, our family members, our loved ones, because he's going to give us help. So when I was trying to be standoffish with my father, because I know his spirit is attached to, I try to sneak up out of that church and leave early. And he tracked me down and he had words for me, loving words. So my prayer worked before I went up there. My prayer worked. And it's sad that it happened. It had to happen. That breakthrough had to happen through a loved one dying. But it served its purpose. That's why I asked Yahuwah, what was your purpose? Was this a sacrifice or was this something for you that I didn't really see the bigger picture? And I had to wait to see the bigger picture of what this was. And I understand why these spirits, these malevolent spirits, these wicked spirits and unclean ruach try to fool me with numerology to get me to not have this connection. So this scripture overridden or overrided my love for numerology and seeing things through numbers. This is where when you get to a certain level, this is where you need the Ruach. This is where you need to pray. This is when you don't lean on your own understanding. Because I'm telling you, straight up, I was fearful. I was fearful that the Most High was going to give me over to these people, because I still believe that my fear is the Most High has to allow me to be touched. That's my biggest fear. It's not my fear is not a Prince of Freemasons and Freemasons and Black Greeks. That's not my fear. My fear is one day the Most High said, okay, you have to pay for these sins. Even if I'm forgiven or not, I'm more afraid of the Most High allowing them to touch me. So I was fearful going up there. Because I'm not going to be able to fight for my life. The Most High deems me to be destroyed. Fam, it ain't enough times I can go into the gym and pump up to get ready for that fight. It'll come out of nowhere. It's a fight that would be handicapped. It would be like going into a boxing match with your hands tied behind your back. When the Most High said it's your time, it's your time. That's why we have to develop this certain fear of the Most High. Because we will not see our judgment coming. Just like we won't see our corrections and punishments coming. But we would have to understand and know through discernment that this is what it is and this is what will happen when we continue to sin, when we continue to backslide, and if we continue to go down, or like they say in scripture, return to dog's vomit. This is the future prophecy. Verse 18, behold, the earth shall be destroyed on account of all their works, and there shall be no seed of the vine and no oil, for their works are altogether faithless, and they shall all perish together, beasts and cattle and birds and all the fish of the sea, on account of the children of men. That's it. On account of the children of men. And I'll finish out this chapter. And a great punishment shall befall the deeds of this generation from Yahuwah. And he will give them over to the sword and to judgment and to captivity and to be plundered and devoured. All of this is spoken about in multiple books, in Obadiah and Revelation and Yeshayahu and Ezekiel. They're all placed in different parts of scripture. That's why it says here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. So when you read the books that were taken out, it all makes sense. And he will wake up against them the sinners of the other nations who have neither mercy nor compassion, who shall respect the person of none, neither old nor young nor anyone, for they are more wicked and strong to do evil than all the children of men. Why? Because they don't have the Torah. They were never corrected. They were never sent into captivity. They were never punished like we were. This is why those other nations are running rampant and wild. This is why the Gentile nations, and that's why most people say the Gentiles can't be saved, because they're so stuck in their own ways. They are the real stiff-necked children of this entire world. Because if we were stiff-necked, and we at least we returned from our wicked ways, they had never had the force to be turned from their wicked ways. They just kept continually doing business as usual. They've been given this world to be wicked. And they shall use violence against Yisrael and transgressions against Yaakov. And much blood shall be shed upon the earth, and there shall be none to gather and none to bury. In those days they shall cry aloud and call and pray that they may be saved from the hand of the sinners, the other nations. But none shall be saved. This is talking about judgment. This is talking about Deuteronomy. And the heads of the children shall be white with gray hair, and a child of 3 weeks shall appear old like a man of 100 years, and their stature shall be destroyed by tribulation and oppression. And if you remember how we always used to joke of how in the 1960s and on that how all those Negroes had really old faces, like black folk look old, like Martin Luther King looked old at 26. This is talking about that. How by tribulation, slavery, everybody looked older than they were. They had one of you, as if you said, like we were talking about a while ago on this show, they got the Jonathan Majors face. Like them old, wade in the water, kumbaya faces. Which is why they selected him. Which is why he's a big star. Which is why they're using him in these little rituals. He is the quintessential face of the 1950s Negro. So seeing him, you automatically are already subconsciously programmed that this is an old Negro face. So it takes you back to slavery. It takes you back to roots. It takes you back to Toby, Kunta Kinte, Chicken George. It takes you back there by just looking at his face. Because all the pictures we've seen of 1960s is old Negro faces. And in those days, the children shall begin to study the Torah and seek the commandments and to return to the path of righteousness. Now, if laws were done away with, why was Moshe instructed to write jubilees for this future generation if the laws were going to be done away with? And who instructed Moshe to write this down? Because they are all everything that's written in word here, and more than we know in the tablets and in the heavenly tablets, are also written up there. Everything, every action, every word, everything that we do, not just in scripture, everything we do and everyone that has ever done anything and said anything is written. It's written down. It's just, heaven is just, has their own stenographer. They have their own stenographer. So it ain't no excuses when you be like, oh, I didn't do that. You want to talk about receipts? Which is ironic that we talk about receipts now in these last days. Y'all going to be dumbfounded and will have your foot in your mouth when you find out the Most High and the heavenly tablets got the receipts. Everything you said, everything you mumbled, everything you thought, it is stored. And they have movies. They have certain movies that bring it out. They had one movie, the dude that plays Spider-Man. I don't even know his name right now, but he had a movie. I think it was called Knowing, The Knowing, where men's thoughts. You could see their thoughts and hear it. It was some dystopian society that men not only live by their words, they live by their thoughts. And it just, you have to watch this movie. It's weird, but. The dude that plays Spider-Man, his character, he couldn't keep his thoughts quiet. His thoughts were so loud, people knew what he was saying, knew what he was thinking, knew what he wanted. But there was a preacher, it was a black preacher. And everything that comes out of what he was thinking was all scripture. So every time they showed this preacher, he would look stern and angry. But all you heard in his mind, that was the thoughts that were floating above his head, was all scripture. His mind was in scripture the whole time. And judgments. Another movie is Tron, the new Tron. Not the new one, but the new Tron. Where they had a disc where all the histories of that person in that system or in that game, they had that disc and they put it on their back. So they knew exactly where they came from. They knew all. There's other movies that show that when you die or something, they had everything recorded in you. But it'll be like that. It'll be just like that. Everything is recorded. So when they talk about in those days, the children shall begin to study the Torah and seek the commandments and to return to the path of righteousness, it's talking about you guys. Do you not understand that before you even was born, this scripture was about you? And I said this before, multiple times, and when it comes to future prophecies, when it comes to people who are chosen to hear the truth, chosen, selected, regardless if you're Israelite or not, because there's some Israelites who don't know they're Israelites who weren't chosen. Some of our parents and relatives, siblings weren't chosen. You of a Gentile nation. There's people in your circle, your relationships, your family members and relatives and siblings that weren't chosen. You were selected before you were even born. So everything you went through in your life, you were supposed to go through. To be here, you were supposed to go through that path. Some of you think, why this had to happen to me? Why did I have to get this generational curse? Why did I have to get this vice? Why did I have to suffer through this? Because the Most High knew you would come here. You would be at this place that you are right now, following the law, statutes, and commandments, and seeking the Torah. And you wouldn't be able to seek the Torah if you did not go through everything you ever went through in your life. You wouldn't do it. Just like most people who don't go through anything in their life, they think they're fine. That's why Yahushua said, I'm not after the righteous or the self-righteous. I'm after the lost. Because people are truly thinking because they have it made, they don't have to go seeking. They don't have to do anything more. Because they haven't gotten the tribulations that you went through. They didn't go through the trials. They weren't burnt by the fire. They didn't get sharpened by iron. To truly understand what this walk is about. If they're successful in their job and they go to church on Sunday, they drop $20 in the offering plate. They drop $20 in tithing. They feel the spirit for two or three songs, go home, do whatever they want, and they don't feel no type of correction. They feel no type of tribulation for what they do. You should pity these type of people. Because it's all going to be felt in the last days and they won't be able to get a chance to turn. Because like I said, the more you sin, you make yourself grow old faster. And the more you sin and grow old faster, time is just speeding up. So they're not going to have a chance to be like, okay, let me do Passover this year. It's going to be too late. People are getting removed. Removed before they even know what proper calendar we're going to be on. Removed before they even know what matzah is. Removed before they even get the chance to plant or see the fruit of what they planted so they can offer it up for first fruits. So we truly do not have time to F around and find out. But here's the flip side to that. And the day shall begin to grow many and increase amongst those children of men till their days draw nigh to 1,000 years and to a great number of years than before was the number of days. And there shall be no old man, nor one who is satisfied with his days, for all shall be as children and youths. And all their days they shall complete and live in peace and in joy, and there shall be no Satan, nor any evil destroyer, for all their days shall be the days of blessing and healing. And at that time, Yahuwah will heal his servants, and they shall rise up and see great peace and drive out their adversaries. And the righteous shall see and be thankful and rejoice with joy forever and ever, and shall see all their judgments and all their curses on their enemies. And their bones shall rest in the earth, and their ruach shall have much joy. They shall know that it is Yahuwah who executes judgment and shows mercy to hundreds and thousands, to all that love him. And do you, Moshe, write down these words, for thus are they written, and they record them on the heavenly tablets for a testimony for the generations forever. So when it says no more Satan, that means when Satan is unleashed from his prison after 1,000 years, and it's funny that that scripture mentions thousands. So when Satan is released after thousands of years, that he would try man again, and that's when he will be completely destroyed. Now it says hundreds and thousands. It don't say millions. It don't say billions. That's what it don't say. So it appears to me that it's a small number of people that's only going to get to see heaven. Hundreds and then thousands? He ain't say 100,000. He ain't say 100 million. He ain't say a 500 million either. The damn sure didn't say trillion. That's how small it is. So people in these churches truly believe that they're doing it right are going to be completely shocked. Now, mind you, it is also up to the Most High to show mercy. He knows exactly how stiff-necked the generation before us were. He actually knows that they were stuck in those curses. So it would be on him to show mercy upon those that he put under spiritual blindness. We don't have no excuse. Gen Xers and those a little bit who came into this truth a little bit before Gen Xers, we have no excuse. Because this knowledge has been increased in the last days, as it says in the book of Daniel, that knowledge will be increased, we will have no excuse. That's why as much as time is going fast, this is why we are getting more technology, more understanding, more knowledge, more books than all of our ancestors ever had. This is why we are getting this understanding, and this is why we have the Ruach HaKodesh, the Ruach Chokma, the Ruach Binyah, and even the Most High has said, I'm going to pour out my spirit in the last days upon all flesh. He didn't say I'm going to pour it on upon all Israelites. He said upon all flesh. That so means everybody right now walking around like zombies and ants on an anthill. They have gotten a piece of the Ruach HaKodesh to dwell in them in order for them to see the truth. But instead of that, just like the parable of the sower, the word of the Most High has fell on rocky soil, or Satan has came by and taken away from them. Or they have been persecuted and afflicted or embarrassed, most likely embarrassed. Most likely, quote unquote, disused on social media and made them back off. Or they didn't see the blessings and didn't work hard enough for it. Or didn't do the work hard enough to get the blessings. They didn't till their own soil. So I'm going to leave you with this message. We have no excuse. If you want to go down a rabbit hole, go down a rabbit hole yourself. How about that? Rabbit hole yourself. Because it's you just be looking at another politician and then going down the politician's connections to big money that leads you all back to BlackRock and Vanguard. Then you go to whatever government is overseas, Yemen, the Muslim Brotherhood, all that garbage, Israel, all that is on TV. Then you go to Texas and all that foolishness that's going on down there, that two Freemasons are working on both sides. Joe Biden's a Freemason, and the man in the wheelchair, Abbott, that can't walk, he's a Freemason. All they're doing is playing back and forth and making you believe that border situation is real, that it's real life. It's a scene. They can't build back America if you don't destroy it. But Satan wanna systematically destroy it so he can bring in the Antichrist. When the Most High come back, he gonna completely destroy it. You'll know when the Most High gonna destroy America, when it's America's set up to be destroyed, is when you don't know where these attacks are coming from. When you actually can't figure it out through numerology or gematria, when it just be happening. That is when you know the Most High gonna show up. I'm telling you, none of these politicians are going to be able to have anything to say about it. They're going to be just as scared and frightened because they know themselves it's not going to be on a gematria equation. They're not going to look at 33s and 666s. They're not going to be able to see it that way. They're going to be scared. That's why they're already building bunk out and bug out bunkers. This is why they're already getting ready to go hide in the cliffs and the rocks. If this system was so strong, if these people were so great and intelligent, why do they continually show us that they're so weak when it comes to the truth? That they have to stop the truth anytime it comes out. That they piss and moan and cry about what people are saying online. You think they stopping, and you think they are not allowing young kids to get on social media because they want to save the minds of children? No, they are trying to reprogram them kids so those kids do not see the truth because they can't stop it. And you trying to tell me of people with military weapons, with planes and personnel and vehicles and weapons that we haven't even seen yet. You think are people to have that will even be worried about 1% of the population posting on Instagram? It shows you that all of this is bullshit. It does. It's weak. And the people who operate this corny mess are Neanderthals. And people who wanted to be underneath them because they believe that this system and its money is going to protect them in the last days. They truly believe that even the Most High is not going to be able to get to them while they're in those bunkers, in these tunnels that they're in. These people came out of the caves. They're going to go back into the caves to go hide from the Most High. Hilarious, because that's how Cain died. Cain killed his brother with a rock, had a whole house, rocks fall on him. The Flintstones, the Croods, the Neanderthal twitched their way out of their caves, and they're going to be twitching their ways back into those caves. So, to answer the questions from the Spotify question I got from some of you that asked me about the Canaanite God Yahweh, no one is it's secular professors and people who have no Ruach HaKodesh. Like I said before, when this matrix is stupid, the matrix is stupid. That means everybody attached to it got their own stupid theology about stuff. They just shorten Yahuwah just to make his name of no account. And that doesn't have nothing to do with the professors. That's what the Yehudim, the synagogue of Satan, brought that up. So then you could start saying Yahweh, Yahweh, Yahweh. So they're like, all right, if they believe it's a Canaanite God, let's go ahead and move them into Moloch. Then let's move them into Shaun. They got to pull you into something. And if you don't have the discernment, they'll keep pulling you into something. But that's why it says, do not get involved with matters that are above your head. You know it's Yahuwah. You should not bother with anything else other than that. And shout out to, I don't know if it's a brother or a sister, or shout out to the family out in South Africa who said that he did not know that this whole time being in South Africa was a promised land. But for your sakes, look it up. Look up the Eden and the Garden District. It's a municipality in South Africa, isn't it? They, like I say, they hide things in plain sight. If you look at Kanana Land, that's in South Africa. If you look at the lettering that they use for the K, it's a Paleo-Hebrew Aleph symbol. Why would they need to put that? Why would they need a Paleo-Hebrew Aleph symbol in South Africa? If the fake land over there in Israel is supposed to be the true land, when you find Kanana Land over there, and I found Kanana Land, K-A-N-N-N-A-L-A-N-D. I found that on maps and David Rumsey's map collection. I found that in South Africa. And then the reason why I bring up South Africa, because Namibia, underneath Namibia, the Orange River, if you're familiar with that, that is where a little bit west, if you go a little bit, if you go to Namibia's western border and say like you move, I don't know, I would say a couple of inches on a map, right along the Orange River, they say that's where Bethesda, Pella, and Jerusalem is, the real Jerusalem. I've seen this through my map digging quest. So I've seen Jerusalem pop up in that area from different cartographers. I'm talking about cartographers from the 1800s, 1900s, 1700s, 1500s. So they've been putting it there. I've also seen Mount Moriah in South Africa. And Africa is full, caked with mountains. When you go through scripture, it talks about the height of the mountains of Yasharel. They're not talking about that little, they ain't talking about foothills. They're talking about great mountains. If you look at Western Uganda, amazing mountains. Amazing mountains. So you would have to understand where Yahushua went to taught and all that. They've mentioned mountains. They keep mentioning these mountains. Even with dealing with the Samaritans. Samaritans worship in this high mountain. All of this is in Africa. And this awakening is this awakening for us is for us to dive into things that have been taken away from us. So I've been heavy in learning all the lost kingdoms of Africa and hearing certain names of tribes or name of warriors and chieftains that share certain names with biblical characters, and I don't think they know who they actually come from. Even their traditions, like gathering first fruits and giving it to the king, they don't understand that comes from, the first fruits come from scripture. The Zulus, they did the whole first fruits thing. And they were in, I say, Southeast Africa, South Africa. And that's where the Zulus were. I mean, this is exciting for me. But for you Gentile nations, y'all just waking up to politicians and government and finding out that America wasn't for you. Or whatever European government wasn't for you at the end. That all these people connected to Freemasonry. That's your awakening. Our awakening was we already didn't trust the government and knew it was BS. But now we're finding out that our homeland, the real homeland that we actually come from, is in near South Africa or in Southwest Africa to Northwest Africa. That's the exciting part. So I'm going to take a 2-week break so I can figure out where my Ruach needs to lead me and I need to start with my mother first, because I truly want to start waking her up. Now, I'll get to my siblings. My siblings are a little, you know, upset right now, but they'll fall in line eventually. But I really want to start off with my mother first, because she was the one that really got me into watching the Ten Commandments. Like every Saturday morning, she would watch Ben-Hur and Ten Commandments. I promise you, she would watch them back to back, sit on the couch, eat grapes, then go to sleep two or three times on Saturday. That was her thing. And it's so funny that I started doing it with my daughter. I just randomly would start, I'll go to the Whole Foods, get cherries or get grapes, and we would watch Ben-Hur, Samson Delilah, all those old school 1950s biblical movies. We would watch those and watch Ten Commandments on top of that. And that's programmed to me. And I'm trying to find a way how to deliver this angle that this is who we are. Like the whole time you've been seeing this under spiritual blindness and not really being able to make the connection. But if you will listen to me, I can make the connection for you through scripture. It's not something I'm making up. It's not, I can connect the dots. And I think that's why the Most High has separated most of us or isolated us from our families, because we were dependent. We wouldn't be able to stand on our own two feet and address them as an adult if they continue to look at us as children. I think that's important to point out. I think I'm gonna have to point that out to them, because they truly do not understand why I walked away. They think I'm just pissy, or I'm just moody, or I'm going through some mental illness that had caused me to completely block them out with no explanation. It makes me look like I'm the enemy, but they don't understand that I was called. That's the hardest part. How do you tell people that's wrapped up in Christianity, they believe that they are the people, or the chosen people, and you tell them, like, no, they called me. He called me personally. Well, why would he call you and then call our pastor and call our elders and call our bishops and call me to be a deacon or call me to be an evangelist? Why would he call you? Look at all the things that you've done. And that's why I go to Yahushua's, what Yahushua said, and I think it was Mark, where he says, there's no prophet without honor except amongst his own kin and his own country. Which means that no matter what work we do in our own country or in our own household, amongst our own kinfolk, we will not be believed. But if we go somewhere else, we are exalted, we are loved, we are cherished, we are listened to. And this is, I guess this is the comeback season. This is the returning back, to go back into our homeland and to really shake things up and to explain them. And hopefully the Ruach HaKodesh can expose them to everything that they've learned and be able to turn from their wicked ways, turn from their sins, and turn from their paganism, and to see the truth for what it is, to save their own souls. And the Most High has given us a grace period to do that. And as much as we want to rush this grace period, much as we want to make this grace period last, it won't last forever. It won't last forever. And some of our relatives and siblings will have to find out through tribulation. But the great thing about this is that you guys read the scriptures. You should know what's going to happen. You should know where it's going to lead us. And everything else does not matter. I don't care what celebrities are doing. I don't care what's going to happen in the halftime show. People love to see or hear my theology about halftime show symbolism. You should already know at this point that it's wicked. You should already know it's a spell. You should already know that regardless of who's going to be in the Super Bowl, they can change those teams 100 times over and over and over again, because they can do it to make fun of you, to mock you, to mock the truth. It's like, this is not scripted, but it's scripted. They have all the power to change whatever team they want in the Super Bowl. They have that power. That's what they can do. It don't matter. We won't be able to catch them in a lie. They know we know. That you should rest the fact that they know that we know. That's it. They're not making these commercials about the script, about fans that are already too dumb to understand. They're not talking about the fans that go into these stadiums, pay $50 for parking, $100 for food and beer, and sit there screaming their vocal cords out watching a fixed game, rigged entertainment match. They're not worrying about them. They weren't about a handful of player ex-players, a handful of truthers and numerologists that actually can figure it out. They not worried about the rest of the world. They worried about the 1%. It ain't even 1%. It's 0.5%. That's who they really afraid of. That's who they in fear of. That's what they did all this commercial for. Mind you, they paid money to the athletes to appear in trust me, I know those athletes get paid. When you see those commercials, athletes get paid by the NFLPA. The NFLPA negotiates who can be in a commercial, how much they should get paid, and that's how we get paid. The NFLPA, to me is pointless because they get their check off of us. So they go negotiate. They get a percentage off the commercial that we are in instead of us being negotiated directly. It goes to the NFLPA. So we get that check after they untouched it. So I know that all those players that were in those commercials talking about the script, bragging about the script, making fun of the script, they got paid to do this commercial. That means everybody else who hold the camera, who write the script for the script, they get paid just to make fun of you knowing their BS. That's it. That should tell you you won. That should tell you you greater than them. That should tell you they're beneath you and beneath your feet. That's how you should walk. You should already be stepping over top of their backs and their necks to go search for the Most High. We should be over halftime show exposés. We really should be over that. I'm over it. You should start directing your people, directing your pages, directing it to the law, statutes, commandments, and scriptures that you have not read or you know your followers haven't read. Because time is coming. Like I said, time is speeding on. It ain't going to be another Super Bowl in the next 6 or 7 years, probably. You know how I know? Because they negotiated the NFLPA, the CBA. They already negotiated them slashing or trying to do something with the money with former players' insurance or former players' disability payments in 2030. And that's when Agenda 2030 is supposed to kick in. So I'm guessing that they're not going to be writing checks anymore. They're going to be sending people digital money. So I'm just telling you, everything is going to be locked up. After 2030, it's going to be locked up. And you're about to see the real tribulation. You're about to see people really going next door to spoil each other's households and their neighbors' belongings. I'm telling you because our siblings, our relatives are going to go through this. And they're going to be the ones that get touched. And who you think they're going to come to? They're going to come to you because you're at peace. You're calm. You're ready. You're prepared. And to go back to that funeral, I actually listened to a lady because I was talking about being prepared. I was actually listening to a woman that stood up and said, you have to be rapture. You have to go through rapture practice. She said, rapture practice. Prepare yourself for rapture practice. They truly believe in the last days they are going to be raptured. They're on that rapture doctrine. Mind you, they can't deliver the verses that talks about that rapture doctrine. Yeah, they always bring up one should be at the mill and the other one should be taken away. They don't even understand the context of that scripture, but because they are under Roman Catholic doctrine, Roman Catholic strongholds, they believe whatever came out of whatever European Neanderthal's mouth that said something about rapture. And that's where they're putting all their eggs in. Sadly, but that's what it is. So if I were you, I would start doing this work. I'll start cleaving to these law, statutes, commandments. Because we don't have much time. And you're going to be sitting there singing, you shoulda, coulda, wouldas. I should have done Passover. I should have learned how to make matzo ball soup. I should have did first fruits. I should have planted this. I should have got it right with my parents. I should have got it right with my siblings. I should have did this. I should have did that. But you also need to look at it another way. I should have separated. I should have cleaved to the Most High. I should have been set apart. I should have left these friends alone. I should have gotten my own place. I should have not dated this man or dated this woman. I should have taken my relationship with the Most High seriously. I don't want to put no fear porn on y'all, because that seems the word every time you try to shake people up, that's the first thing they go to. Oh, it's fear porn and division. You should be scared. I'm scared for you. People who say that, oh, I have fear of porn stuff, I'm scared for you. Because I don't think you understand how hot hell is. I look at those volcanoes erupting and watch how things disintegrate without the lava even touching. So just imagine how hot hell is. And it's so funny when you see white folks go and take a tour at volcanoes and sit there and watch the lava pour out in front of them. And don't know that if they don't live right, if they don't do the law, sets, commandments, they don't live uprightly, that they're going to be in the same fire they're standing at.